This is the last Sunday in April. This year has flown by. This month has flown by. But I am continuing on with a message series that I started a few weeks ago. And it is a series on 1 Peter, looking through pretty much the entire letter of First Peter, and we have gone through a few of the verses already, and it's kind of interesting that right now there's two other churches preaching on the same few verses, a church in Michigan and a church in Maine, and I've listened to their messages, and even though we're covering the exact same verses, it's funny how the messages are from different points of view, and almost very different messages. But that's how God works sometimes. You know, we look at verses a little differently and how they apply to us, and it's been an interesting journey so far. I meet with those pastors during the week, and we talk about the scripture that we're going through. One of the problems going through a book or a letter like this, you know, with just a few verses at a time, one of the problems with going through it like this is that we might lose sight of a bigger picture. So we see a small picture within a few verses, but also in a bigger section of Scripture, there might be another theme or another topic, and if all we do is look at just a couple verses, we might lose sight of a bigger picture. So that's kind of why I do a little recapping, going overviewing what we learned the week before, but especially today, we do see kind of a broader theme when it comes to praise and rejoicing in the Lord. But last week, we looked at praising God. God is always worthy of praise, and we even looked at some specific things to praise God for. I want to read those verses that we went through last week. I just want to read them again, as they do help us see a little clearer our verses for today. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We praise God for being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Him for His great mercy that He sent His Son Jesus to take our sins upon Himself. We praise the Lord for causing us to be born again and giving us a living hope through Christ's resurrection. And we continue to praise the Lord because when we get to heaven, we receive an inheritance that is forever. It lasts forever. It never perishes. And we praise the Lord for protecting us in such a way that as faithful followers in Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love, and we look forward to His salvation from the final judgment at Christ's second coming. All of this is worthy of praise to our Heavenly Father above. Even though He shields us from any separation from Him, He does not shield us from difficulties, hardships, and trials. He shields us in that nothing can separate us from His love, but He doesn't necessarily shield us from difficulties or trials. Now, this doesn't mean that God doesn't intervene. Doesn't mean that He doesn't stop difficult hardships or trials at times. But I believe He does, because I believe He does intervene at times. But this also means that we can expect hardships and trials in this life. We can expect them. I mean, the people Peter is writing to, writing this letter to, were in hard times. They were dealing with They're dealing with persecutions that are very harsh. And so far, Peter is helping them focus on Christ rather than focusing on the tough times that they're enduring. He's showing them greater things to come. It's easy to be so focused on the current pain that we really can't even look out at a bigger picture, and that's Christ. There's more. There's so much more. But as we move into our verses today, as we move into verse 6, we see that Peter is telling them to continue their praise and rejoicing, but brings a little more explanation when it comes to the trials, hardships. So let's read verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 6, it starts out with, in this you greatly rejoice. Those two words, in this, is referring back to what was just said. So kind of what I just talked about and recapping from last week, and this is referring back to that. And it could be that all of those items that we give praise for is what Peter's referring to, or it could be that Peter's simply referring to salvation in Christ, which was the very verse previous to this. Either way, we go from praising God to rejoicing in the Lord. We praise God for his great love and mercy in giving us life and hope. We then, in turn, feel great joy in our hearts. I mean, when we really start to think about what Christ is doing in us and through for us, and when he talks about salvation for an eternity, that should lead our hearts to joy. It should lead us to feeling that joy. But then the verse also says, though for a little while they'll have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. All kinds of trials. We know for sure that the people Peter's writing to were being persecuted because they were different. They were like foreigners in a land not their own. They were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. We know that. They had trials because of their faith. That's for sure. Were there other trials? Were there just difficulties in life that they were also dealing with there? It's hard to say. Peter's probably referring to trials associated with being a Christ follower in a hostile land, and not necessarily other difficulties in life. But with that being said, we see in other areas of Scripture that remaining faithful in all trials of life is still important. Remaining faithful is important. And so as we go through this, I want you to know the context is really, of this letter, is probably dealing more with trials and persecution because of their faith. But where my message is going is just trials in general. And have any of you ever had a hardship? Any of you had difficulty in life? Does anyone here know what it is to go through tough times? would venture to guess that all of you would have to say yes. I don't care of your age. You can be young and still say you've had difficult times. Now, with those of you that can for sure say yes, you've gone through tough times, you've had hardships. In those times, can you say that you rejoiced in the Lord the whole way through them? I can honestly say there's been times I haven't. That's hard. To go through a difficult time in life and to rejoice in the Lord through some of them is hard. Almost all of us, if we were truly honest, would say no to that. We weren't joyful or rejoicing in those times. Is that what Peter is saying here? Is that what he's saying that we need to do? Again, he's writing to a people in the pain of persecution, and while they are struggling, Peter is helping them put their focus on other things, kind of like I've already said, but it's a huge point. The joy of salvation is something we look forward to. We can always find joy in that. I looked at a couple of psalms that really highlighted some of what I'm trying to say here. And they help us to see a level of honesty and transparency when it comes to enduring difficulties, yet rejoicing in the Lord. The first one I'd like to look at is Psalm 40, starting with verse 16. Psalm 40, verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, "The Lord be exalted." Again, there's a rejoicing in the Lord because of his salvation. But in verse 17, yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. So we see rejoicing, yet we also see the midst of a hardship. Turn with me to another psalm, and it's actually very similar in wording. There's just a few differences, but Psalm 70, it's almost identical, but just a few differences. Psalm 70, starting with verse 4. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, "Let God be exalted." And then we get to verse 5. Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. We're given a living hope in Jesus Christ. We are promised salvation through our faith in Jesus. We have a merciful God who is with us, and we can all rejoice. We know Him, and He knows us. And we have a salvation and an inheritance to look forward to, right? Yet at the same time, we can be seeking help from the Lord to help us through the trials, through the hardships that we're going through. Yes, we can rejoice in the Lord, but that doesn't mean we have to act like everything is happy-go-lucky and pretend that all is well when we are really hurting. We can rejoice and yet be honest when we're hurting. In our letter by Peter, he's giving them something to rejoice in, but he acknowledges that they're struggling in the here and now. It may be only for a little while. That's in our verse. It may be for a little while. This is pointing out that it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary status of our time on earth here too. When we take into account our heavenly reward lasting for an eternity, our pain right now is just a temporary time. Though painful as it might be, it's not going to last. And we need to remain faithful in Christ through it. That's what we need to do, remain faithful. Grief and all kinds of trials and hardships. Peter writes that in there. Sometimes I wonder, maybe we are so comfort-oriented that we may avoid hardships by not standing up for Christ. If standing up for Jesus and standing up for your faith would cause you to lose your job or cause some family members to turn their back on you or cause you to be isolated or rejected, if you knew that, would you still stand up for Christ? One commentator that I was reading through, he really brought out that point. That we might not have the persecution like Peter's recipients, but is our faith bold enough to stand when no one else does? Something to think about for sure. But let's get back to our letter here, and let's get back to Peter's explanation of why, even though we are followers of Christ, why we still endure trials of all kinds. Verses 6 through 7, just like to read that again. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I think this is one of the harder concepts given in the Bible for us to accept. I just want to read another passage here. Many of you know this, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed, meaning that what we're reading here in 1 Peter is God's Word and revelation, not only to be read by the audience of Peter, but also is meant for us. And when I read that verse 7 here, in 1 Peter, I don't like it. I don't. Well, it doesn't mean it's not right. It does not mean that it's not true. Because it is true. It is right. I'm simply telling you that deep down, I struggle with that verse. My suffering, my trials, my pain and hardships is somehow used to refine my faith. Even though I know it's true, I don't like it. Why? It hurts. If any of you that have been through a trial or hardship, you know it hurts. Being rejected because of my faith, being looked down upon or treated as if I'm inferior because of my faith, or any other trials in life, loss of a loved one, significant changes in our lives, financial hardships, tragedies, being a victim of crime, being hurt by someone else, relationship changes, conflicts, emergencies, and some of all of those can be classified as trials. We don't like it. We feel real pain physically and emotionally. We feel that. It hurts. And the worst thing, if I'm going through a real hardship, I don't need anyone to remind me that my faith is being refined. It's probably not the right time. And I think sometimes when we're really struggling, I think that God may seem a little more distant. Maybe God seems a little more unloving. Maybe a little more harsh. Though those are not true, if anything, He is closer. And God is loving. But I think sometimes He feels that way because we have a little blame that we're directing towards God. We're blaming Him for our hardships. I think these are real struggles that a lot of us encounter at times. The best thing I can tell you is we live in a broken, fallen world. Hardships are a part of life because we live in a world that has been affected by sin so deep that it is a part of our lives. Just brokenness is a part of our lives. This brokenness is the result of sin in the world and not an act of God. Though, as we see here, God can use these things to refine us, to see our faith grow in those times. I, at the same time, must realize hardships happen because this world is broken and I need Christ all the more to get me through. Yet there are times that we wrestle around with God over things that He allowed to happen, but we need to get to a point where we pray, God, let Your will be done in me and in my life at this moment. That is when we see some of that refinement in our faith happen. Not blaming God for the hardship, but saying, God, let Your will be done in me and in my life. Over time, after a trial is long over, for me, I can look back in those times and see where, you know, I knew for a moment, or I knew for a time, I should say, I felt at a time that God was distant or my faith was struggling, but I can look back years later and go, you know what? I did know that Christ was close. And I did see that my faith was strengthened in those times. So there are times that we can look back and see that. And trials show a genuineness of one's faith. Again, Peter is helping his readers understand that trials, though tough, do refine their faith. Now, do we all have to go through trials? Probably not. But at the same time, we're living in a broken world, and grief and suffering are a part of it. The likelihood that you're going to experience it is very high. We can look at them with disdain and anger toward God, or we can look at them, those trials, as Joseph did when he faced his brothers who sold him into slavery as a young man. Like to read Genesis 50:20. Here's what Joseph said to his brothers, who pretty much caused him, well, they sold him into slavery, and Joseph had to go through a lot of different difficulties. But at the end, here's what Joseph said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph went through a lot, but his faith remained strong. Joseph could have pitied himself, blamed his brothers, and rejected God for allowing all that he went through to happen. Or he could look to God in every situation and seek to please him in every place that he came to. Praying that prayer in all the hardships isn't easy, but it allows God to use us and brings glory to him. When I face a trial, that is my hope, that somehow the trouble I'm currently facing will be used for good to the glory of God in the future. I like how Peter says faith is far more valuable. It is far more valuable to God than gold. Gold is perishable. It's not going to last forever. Now we think, well, gold that's been in the ground has been there. It's going to continue to be there. But you know what? Our earth, our planet, is going to pass away. Everything here is going to perish at some point. But faith, on the other hand, will last forever. Something Peter points out is that gold and faith do have something in common. They are tested and refined in fire. To purify gold, it is refined in fire to either burn off impurities or to separate the impurities from the gold. Faith, when tested by fire or hardships, often help remove the impurities within us. While in the trial, we're faithfully trusting in the trial, are we faithfully trusting in the Lord? Are we looking forward to seeing how God will use this trial to bring glory to himself in the future? Well, those are hard questions. But they also help us to look outside of it too. It's hard to think like that. But let me tell you, the other option of blaming God and being angry with him will lead to nothing good in the future. Refined faith, genuine faith, is more precious than anything in this world. Faith not only leads us to salvation, but also leads us to be servants of the Lord, pursuing his will instead of our own. Are you in the midst of a trial? How's your faith going? If you are on the other side of a trial, has your faith proved genuine? Can God use you to encourage others? Now, some might be saying, I've blown it. I have bitterness in my heart toward others, or maybe even bitterness towards God. If that's you, then the trial isn't over. Allow God to come in and help you and help remove those impurities. If you're waiting to get an answer of why this or why that happened, realize now you may never get those answers. Yet we still live in fallenness, but we have hope of more to come. Forgive others. Repent before the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. It's time to be filled with joy, as genuine faith in Jesus Christ results in an unexplainable joy because of what he's doing in us now and the eternal life that we look forward to with him. I have a couple more verses, just want to go over quickly here, verses 8 through 9 in 1 Peter. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter commends and highlights part of what faith is. Peter's audience and us, we were not there with Jesus as Peter was. We are hearing Christ's messages from others that were passed down. Though we were not there to see him, we love him. Even though we do not see him now, we believe in him, and that's faith. To believe, this belief that we have is not just a belief that Jesus existed, but a belief in that Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. A belief in him is life-changing faith for us as we follow him. The Holy Spirit is also with us and gives us help to know without a doubt that Jesus is real and alive and dwelling within us. We might be living in trials at the moment, but the presence of God and Jesus Christ is in us, and we find glorious joy in that. We can be joy-filled because we know Christ, and he knows us, and we've been given salvation. Salvation of our soul, and we look forward to an inheritance yet to come, and we can rejoice that our faith is being strengthened, even when we are enduring difficult times. You're being strengthened and refined in Christ. Again, it's not always easy from there, but he's still using those things to refine us. And each and every one of us has areas that we can grow. So the refinement doesn't end, unfortunately, until we're in the presence of Jesus.